Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wouldn't you agree that certain types of food are better than others in the sense that if you're going to bother to be eating, you might as well eat something that you really enjoy? As opposed to, like, there's a multitude of different foods that can fill you up and move you on to the next meal, whatever that is during the day, and then you can go about your business. But you know, outside of eating really healthy, which, you know, can be is good for you if you're on a diet or if you're watching what you eat. Other than that, then I would argue with you that you'd be much better off eating items that you really, really enjoy, that you're passionate about, that if you're going to bother to eat and you're taking the time, you might as well enjoy it.
I'm in the mood to have certain things. Like, I'm the guy who I cook almost 5 days a week. Like, I like to cook because, again, the food is a means to an end to me, right? So there are people, I've had dates before, or I'm dating someone. I've dated girls who they shopped on Sunday, primarily Sunday, for the entire week. And I would go, how do you know what you want to eat on Wednesday? How do you know what you want to eat on Tuesday? Like, how could you shop for the week? I'm the type of person, and I know it's annoying, I will go to the grocery store every day because at some point during the day, I'll be in the mood and I'll say, okay, I want some salmon. Okay, I want this or I want that. I have no idea on Sunday what the heck I want on Thursday.
So
there's someone out there like me, I'm telling you.
So far via the text line, there are not many people who agree with you on
this. It's coming. Like, in the beginning, whenever I like open up and I start talking, of course, the people who naturally think they're all against me. But as time goes on, you will slowly feel it, see it trickle in where people will be like, I get what Troy is saying.
So you're telling me that, like, right now.
Right now. I have no idea what I want to eat tonight.
Tonight, or okay, so for that matter, you wouldn't say tomorrow, be like, you know what, tomorrow night for dinner, I'm going to have this.
No, I have one day, Friday, pizza. That's it. Friday, pizza. Sunday, food has to be cooked in the house. So I could go out to eat on a Sunday, I could go out on a date on a Sunday, but on Sunday, even if I'm going out on a date, going out to eat or whatever, I have to cook something in the house because that's the way I was raised. On Sunday, your house needs... Am I weird?
No.
On Sunday, your house needs to have a home-cooked meal in the house, even if I don't eat it. Even if I have a date to go out, plans to go out. I'm telling you, I'm weird like that, but...
I couldn't disagree more with Troy. No, but hold on. I couldn't disagree more with you about, you know, not really... I guess, like, not living to eat, because I'm the kind of guy that I plan out my meals. I love eating. Like, yeah. But
like,
I will say a lot of people tend to agree with Troy. I don't think the majority would, but I think he'll find some people who agree with him, because Crowder and Hawk have this disagreement all the time, where Hawk, he's going on vacation to eat, by the way. I'm following Hawk on Snap. That dude is going to come back like 100 pounds heavier, but whatever.
Wait, he's on Snapchat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't there some sort of age restriction on that?
Not that important to me.
So, but like, Crowder leans a little more to the side of Troy's argument, where he's not, where like, he'll stop wherever, he'll get something to eat quickly, and he's on his way. He just wants to go get what he wants to do done. He wants to go explore. Like, he's not going somewhere because they have, you know, this type of food. Like, he's just worried about what he's going to do next, and he'll eat just to stay full and to stay hydrated and not to get hungry. But, and like, there's always that disparity of, Well, no, like, you're going somewhere because their food is delicious. That's why you're going.
Yeah, yes. I think there's a healthy balance here.
A healthy balance.
Yes, because I'm just thinking for myself, there are certain days or nights that I'm like, okay, let's, like, tomorrow we're going to have this to eat or with all this other stuff. But, like, sometimes there's just the day of and you got to figure it out. But you seem to relish in the unknown. Like, you just want to, like, fly by the seat of your pants when it comes to your meals.
No, but I fly on more of a healthy tip. It's not junk.
I'm not saying it's junk. I'm just saying that just in general, whatever you're deciding to eat, it's just the day of whatever hits me that day.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I'm listening to, and I could say the station because sister station, Power 96 this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right here in the building.
DJ Zog, right? Lucy, she was on vacation. I forgot the girl's name that was filling in for her. Anyway, Zog is in his mix, and he plays a song, Taco Tuesday.
Okay.
Right? And I was in the car, and I said, I'm having tacos tonight. It's Tuesday. I haven't had tacos in a while. I'm having tacos tonight. Now, how did I know that on Sunday? That on Tuesday, I was going to want tacos.
Because it's Taco Tuesday, Troy.
Yeah, but it's Tuesday. That doesn't mean that every Tuesday of my life, I'm going to eat tacos.
Oh, no, no. Every Tuesday, I'm eating tacos. It's Taco Tuesday.
I get it. Like, that's part of it. Like, wait, I don't eat tacos on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
How long ago did Taco Tuesday become a thing?
Oh, it's been a thing for
a while. It's been for a long time.
Yeah, I think since, like, the 1700s.
For a long time.
I think it may
it's
be.
It's like Throwback Thursday.
It may be in the Constitution. If you read the bylines of the Constitution, there may be a section on Taco Tuesday.
It's been around a long time like this.
Okay. This is confounding. I don't know where this all came from.
I don't either.
You just poured your heart out. About your food habits.
Hawk being in Japan.
Yeah, and Hawk.
Best steak I had.
That's true.
Which is weird.
I wish we had. Maybe we will revisit this, I suppose, because there are some people who are agreeing with you on the text line. So I don't want to make this seem like we're just pouncing on you here, Troy. But we do want to talk about the pressing matter at hand regarding the Miami Heat and a possible new addition to the team. Russell Westbrook apparently has mutual interest between him and the Miami Heat. Eric Horn, the Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman, he's going to join us next. We'll get the perspective from Oklahoma City on everything that's going on, the Paul George trade, and everything else. Stay tuned here on QAM. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stratford as we continue on here on this Tuesday. Hope everybody is doing well. So much swirling around in the NBA, and it was just a little over a week ago where we didn't think the Heat were going to be really active at all in free agency and wouldn't do much to rechange this roster, but were we wrong? And it's been quite a surprise as we saw Jimmy Butler get traded in a deal that sent Hassan Whiteside out of town. And we thought that was probably going to be the end of it. You get Jimmy Butler and then this rebuilding process.
You thought that was it?
Well, I thought it would be like till next summer. And then you would continue to add more pieces.
Just Jimmy Butler?
Well, Jimmy Butler. And then next offseason, the season after that, you go after another big-time player after you get some more money off the books. But with that being said,
yes,
nobody anticipated Paul George being traded to the LA Clippers.
No one.
That took place late Friday into early Saturday morning. And for more on that, plus now the rumors about Russell Westbrook and his connection to the Miami Heat, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Eric Horn joins us now, the Thunder beat writer from the Oklahoman. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric Horn, okay. Eric, thank you very much for your time today. How's everything going?
Oh, it's good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. Eric, I got to ask you to start with, was the Paul George trade as shocking to you as it was to everyone else around the NBA world?
Yeah, it was. The timing of it more than the actual trade. I don't think there were any rumblings from my side, at least, that was going to happen. But with the way that the league's worked over the past couple of years, when you see guys get into the last couple of years of their deal, you start to kind of project ahead and think, you know, this is a thing that could happen. This is a thing where a guy could walk in the office and say, you know, this isn't working. this is where I'd like to be. And, you know, we saw it with Kawhi, which I think was the most unpredictable of any of them. The way that played out in San Antonio, we saw it with Anthony Davis. And, you know, we see it now with Paul George. It's the second time that Paul George has requested a trade in his career. Only it comes a year earlier than the exit from Indiana. But on the surface, yeah, I think it was a shock to most everyone here that covers the team.
Eric, the way the roster was constructed down there in Oklahoma City, were things working out or were they not working out? Like, you're talking about players, you know, they'll sit there and say, okay, this is not working out. They knock on the door, they request a trade. In your opinion, was things working out or were they disappointed with what they put on the court or where they finished?
Well, I think the team was disappointed, certainly. Sam Presti, the general manager, said that on the record. I think the team themselves, they were disappointed in their performance these last couple of years. But they stuck with it, and they wanted to try and come back and get better to a point. Now, certainly, you know, the team was a disappointment in the playoffs, considering that you saw them perform at a high level against some of the best teams in the league during the regular season. But they had a myriad of issues that just don't translate to good playoff basketball. You know, even though you shuffle parts around Russell Westbrook over the last 3 years, you don't have the shooting that these other teams had. You don't have the ball movement that a lot of teams have. And it's one thing to have limited ball movement and a lot of isolation play. But when you have that, you've got to have guys that are scoring at an elite, efficient level. You know, the Rockets can be who they are because James Harden is efficient at the rim, at the free throw line, and at three. Westbrook was efficient at the rim to an extent this season, but he wasn't from the free throw line, and he really hasn't ever been from the three-point line. So it was a style that didn't translate to the playoffs. You know, he had some personnel issues that didn't work in the playoffs. And then your best players typically didn't rise to the occasion when the playoffs came as well.
So you're looking, or you're covering, you know, you're covering the team and you're pointing out all of the things that you just said. So Miami Heat fans are very excited for the potential of Westbrook coming down here. Are they falling into the trap that Westbrook and the style of play that he has does not translate to long-term success, because he's been down there now, what, 10, 11 years, and they really haven't had that ultimate?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a trap that not just Heat fans, but some of these other teams around the league, whether it's Houston, Detroit, Minnesota, some of the, you know, the teams that have been rumored to have been interested in him, you know, that's a dangerous proposition with a guy. But let's forget about just his style for a minute. But you think about the injury history he's accumulated. I think that it definitely contributed to him losing a step last year. His game got more post-oriented, to where he was slowing down play from the post as opposed to being able to attack guys off the dribble and get to any spot he wanted anymore. This is a guy who's going to be 31 in October. And he's got $170 million left on his contract. So while it's exciting thinking about the potential pairing between he and Jimmy Butler, in terms of the star power, does it equate to being able to get to another level of play? I'm not so sure. The Eastern Conference is going to be strong this year at the top. I think it would probably leave them fighting for the same playoff positions that they were in previous seasons.
Eric Horn, Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Eric, with that being said, I know the reports are out there that Russell Westbrook and his agent are now likely pursuing a trade, and they're looking for some of the suitors. The Heat, as Troy referenced, right there at the top of the list. Do you envision him ultimately now? Is it a foregone conclusion that he will be traded? And if so, what do you think the timeline on that's going to be?
I'm not sure of a timeline. I think he will be traded. Because I think that the Thunder's, you know, appreciated Westbrook for essentially, you know, keeping basketball alive in this city post Kevin Durant, but also have seen that you know, the difficulties of trying to build a team around him these last 3 years. And once you punt on not just Paul George, but Jeremy Grant, a guy who they really championed as a guy that they developed in-house and who's 25 years old on a great contract, I think that signals I'm moving on. The timeline on that is difficult to say because of a couple different things. Close to half of the league, or maybe more than half, I'm not quite sure, of the league were free agents this past summer. And some guys are still out there. And those free agents aren't going to be able to be traded until December 15th. So what that does is it gives you a limited number of players that you're able to swap in deals. It lowers the amount of assets that a team has to be able to make deals with you, and it limits your options. So is it in the Thunder's best interest and Russell Westbrook's best interest to start the season with the team and face the questions that he's going to face going into the season and throughout the rest of his Thunder tenure before December 15th, to where he can be, you know, moved for possibly more options in terms of teams being able to make a move for him? Or do they get a deal done now, maybe with multiple teams getting in so everybody's happy in the window they had before the preseason? I would bet on the former, them getting a deal done before preseason to avoid, you know, sort of the awkwardness of bringing Westbrook back under those circumstances.
Eric, in your best estimation, thoughts, if the Thunder was in the Eastern Conference last year with Paul George being teamed up with Westbrook, what do you think they finish?
I think they'd probably be in that 4 or 5 seed range. You know, they were a very similar team, not in construction of players necessarily, but in sort of the ebbs and flows of the season as a Boston. I certainly think the locker room dynamic was better in Oklahoma City. But they played down the competition. They had one of the best defenses in the league, and at times they struggled to score. They were very similar to a Boston in that regard, so I think that they probably would have been in that range. I don't think that they were outright better than Toronto, Milwaukee, or Philly. But I think that the West was deeper, and I think that the Thunder, you know, they could have been in the running for a home playoff seed. But I think 4 and 5 probably would have been the range they fell into. And that's ultimately where they fell, you know, this season in that range, because the West was tight from about 4 to 8. And, you know, the Thunder was oscillating between that, I think, you know, 5 through 8 position up until the last days of the season. So I think that they realistically could have been looking at like a 4 seed in the East, or more than likely a 5 in the Eastern Conference.
Eric Horn, Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman, joining us here on 560 WQAM, getting some perspective on Russell Westbrook as there are rumors linking him and the Miami Heat. With that being said, Eric, you know, you've already provided some great perspective on his efficiency and the type of player he's become now as he gets into his early 30s. What does it say about Westbrook, though, that Kevin Durant and now Paul George have willingly left him?
I think it speaks to the efficiency. I think it speaks to sort of the way that players are wired now. They're looking for the best opportunity as soon as possible. I don't have the intimate knowledge to know whether or not Paul George and Russell Westbrook were thick as thieves or whatever. I know Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were two completely, I won't even go as far as say completely, but they were different personalities. They were guys who valued different things. Russell Westbrook had a tight-knit group. Kevin Durant was a guy who, you know, was a bachelor, and he was kind of had people coming in and out of his life that were the roster of people in and out of his life was changing from year to year, but Russell kept kind of the same consistent group. So I don't think that these guys leaving is so much an indictment of Westbrook's personality, and it comes off that way because of the clashes he's had with us as a media, with the way that he kind of tackles those media responsibilities, the way that he can be, you know, abrasive. And that's clear in the way that he communicates with us. But I would say it reflects more on the chances of winning a championship than anything. Paul George saw an opportunity with Kawhi Leonard. He was recruited. And he took that opportunity, not to mention that he had an opportunity to go home and play in Los Angeles, which he's never really skirted around desiring to do. Paul George wanted to, you know, he grew up rooting for the Clippers. He grew up a Kobe Bryant fan. His family is still based in Los Angeles, where his mother's had some health issues. So, you know, I think there were some factors in terms of the style of play that played into both of those guys, you know, wanting to go in a different direction. But I also think it's circumstantial, too. You know, Golden State had a salary cap spike that was able to fit Kevin Durant into. You know, he spent 8 pretty successful years with Russell Westbrook. And at times, I think guys need a change of scenery. It applied to both of them, and I think there's some different factors that go into that. But certainly, you know, the style of play is one of them, and Russell Westbrook's a big part of it.
Eric, it was such a monumental moment last offseason when Paul George, after kind of that year where the Thunder organization was able to recruit him after the trade from Indiana, when he decided, hey, I'm not taking other meetings, I'm going to stay here and pair with Russell Westbrook, and I want to be here long-term. How do you imagine Sam Presti, the general manager, is now coping with this sudden change?
Oh, he's coping with it with a crap ton of draft picks is what he's doing. And he's coping with it with, you know, a good young point guard that's thought of really highly across the league in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And a guy in Danilo Gallinari that, you know, depending on what they want to do with him, if they keep him, he's one of the best shooters in the league from his position. And if they trade him, you know, that's just more asset collection. So Sam Presti's obviously disappointed that, you know, not only that it did not work in trying to pair Westbrook and Paul George together, and I say work as in these guys being able to make deep playoff runs. They were still a successful team from the standpoint of making the playoffs and being able to win games. But you know, Presti's disappointed because, you know, he invested in Paul George and he believed in him. And you know, he probably still does believe in him, but he's not going to be in this city, unfortunately. And the best way you could possibly move on from losing an all-star caliber player is getting good return. And I mean, from all the people I've talked to across the league and all the reporting, I don't think there's been a return ever as big as this because the Clippers were essentially trading for 2 players. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were a package deal. Leonard going to the Clippers was conditional on Paul George going with him. So you see the result of that in what the Thunder got back in terms of the assets.
Eric Horn, the Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman, joining us here on 560 WQAM. With that being said, and that is a big haul, with Presti, the organization, even the fan base, we've been talking about this the last couple of days, Eric. You know, how are they handling the reality that at various points you've had the likes of Westbrook, Durant, Harden, George, Ibaka, Oladipo, and more, but they haven't enjoyed more success in terms of they've only advanced to 1 NBA Finals during this run?
Well, I think that frustration has lingered whether or not Paul George is here or not. There are people that are still angry about the Harden trade, even though the Thunder won 60 games the year after. And, you know, four years after trading James Harden, they had the Warriors down 3-1 in the conference finals. There seems to be, some short memories when it comes to this Thunder team being highly successful even after James Harden was traded. So, yeah, people are upset. Fans are frustrated. But I think that frustration would have been the same, if not similar, if Paul George was traded or not. Once Paul George hands in his trade request, you got to do the best you can to recoup on that. It wouldn't have done them any good to bring him back and run back the same team to get the same result. So, there's frustration, and there's going to be frustration until this team, you know, gets back to the levels they were at when they had Kevin Durant.
Yeah, makes sense. Eric, okay, we've been talking all about this, and we're just curious, from your perspective, you know, because the Heat doesn't have draft picks. In fact, the Thunder now have 2 of their former draft picks that were part of the deal with the Clippers. Yeah. But considering the Heat have been so connected to a potential trade for Westbrook, What would the Thunder want in return, hypothetically, for Russell Westbrook, in your opinion?
It's hard to look at the Heat's roster and see anything in terms of like actual like assets that they either don't already have in terms of draft picks or, you know, potential players. You know, you tend to look at the young guys first. A guy like a Bam Adebayo, a guy like Justice Winslow. But are those guys that the Thunder wants? I'm not sure. At this point, you probably try and collect as many assets as possible. And, you know, a guy like Ryan Anderson doesn't seem like an asset, but his contract is an asset. You acquire a contract like that so you can parlay it to someone else who has cap space, and then maybe they give you back some first-round picks. But that is something that I think's in mind. But also, you know, that's why you incorporate another team into the deal to make it work. You might have to get three or four teams involved in order for everybody to be happy with what they got in return. So you might not be able to look directly at the Heat's roster right now and be able to say, hey, this is a guy that we want and we covet. I think one of those guys that would have been really valuable is Josh Richardson, but now he's off to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Josh Richardson's a guy who's from Oklahoma here. He's from Edmond, which is, you know, basically 5 minutes away from downtown Oklahoma City. So you got to look at some other teams that could possibly get into the deal with them. And then, you know, once you figure out that you can get three or four teams involved, then it becomes more feasible because some other team might have something that they can pair with the Heat, and they can pair with the Thunder in order to get the deal done.
Eric, you've already
good stuff.
Yeah, referenced quite a bit about the efficiency issues with Russell Westbrook, especially the free throw line, the 3-point shooting, and that being one of the reasons why, say, a Paul George and a Kevin Durant decided to move on. With that being said, you've watched Westbrook for a long time. How do you think he would fit with Jimmy Butler if the two would join forces in Miami?
I think it would be actually a good fit in terms of personalities. Jimmy's demanding. Jimmy doesn't take crap. He's demanding. That's very similar to Russell Westbrook in that regard. I'd be curious to see if they'd elevate each other's games. Westbrook's been a guy whose defense has been in and out in his career. I wonder if Jimmy would bring that out of him and make him a better defender, make him a better guy off ball. So I actually think that pairing would be good for each other in terms of their personalities. On the court, you know, that remains to be seen because neither of those guys are particularly great perimeter shooters, especially Westbrook. You'd have to figure out the end-of-game situations in which I don't think there's as much of a problem as people think there is when it comes to Russell Westbrook with that, because he deferred to guys this last season at the end of games. He was passing to a guy like Alex Abrines for open shots. He was looking for Paul George in game-winning situations. Westbrook's good in that regard, I think. It's the other times where you question his shot selection and his decision-making. But I think that he's shown some acumen there, actually, in the last few years in terms of, you know, giving up some shots. They're going to be competitive as hell. They're going to play every game if they're together. And they're going to get after people. And I think that that's a combination that would certainly be a playoff team, barring injury, in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and it sounds like the type of players slash team that Pat Riley's been known for over the years as well, along with Eric Spoelstra. Eric, really appreciate all the insight. It's been terrific. Plus, man, good luck with everything, as I know that this is the way the NBA is these days, but you're looking at covering a much different team than I'm sure you anticipated even just a few days ago. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything continues to develop with the Thunder. Thank you so much for joining us, and we really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
All right, there he is, Eric Horn. Follow him on Twitter at Eric Horn OK. And, of course, you can read his work in the Oklahoman as he's the Thunder beat writer there. So some terrific insight, Troy, as we'll see. Maybe this actually comes to fruition. We'll see Russell Westbrook, Jimmy Butler in a Heat uniform together. We'll come back. We've got much more to get into. Stay tuned here on QAM. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stratford in for Hawk and Crowder. Alex Solano with us as well as we continue on here. Big thanks to Eric Horn for joining us last segment from the Oklahoman covering Russell Westbrook and the Thunder. Want to talk more about that, and we'll continue to discuss that as the show goes on. But, Troy, you really caused a stir in the first segment of the program.
That's why I'm here.
Just out of nowhere, you volunteered the fact that you don't like to plan ahead when it comes to your meals, your eating schedule, all of that. We got in a bunch of texts on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22, 560-22. And in the beginning, I think my favorite text said, "What the bleep is going on?" to start the show. But after that, we had a lot of people who have now kind of come to your side, including we're hearing from an old friend of ours via the text line here. It says, "I'm with Troy. Go shopping before every home-cooked meal. Used to shop in advance, and then stuff would go to waste. So now just shop right before cooking so I know exactly what to get." That's from Cope.
Absolutely.
Cope texted
in. Cope is spot on.
Yeah, that's our old friend
there.
It's
good, Cope.
Somebody else here says, this is Matthew from Palm Beach, says, "I agree with Troy on two things. First, I get more satisfaction from seeing smiling faces on the people I cook for than actually eating my own cooking or grilling. I usually don't eat my food when I cook or grill. Second, I pretty much eat similar to Troy. I spend..." let's see. It's kind of blanking out here. A week. It says... 3 to 6 something a week on food. That money breaks down to protein shakes, bars, and vitamins. I work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, so it's the most efficient way to refuel.
Yes.
Mm, okay. Says, "Where I differ is I still very much appreciate food, flavors, and chefs. I rarely get time off, but when I do, I would go to an extravagant establishment and get the full flavors of the evening."
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, that's the one
thing.
I can
see that.
That's the one thing that I'm still having difficulty wrapping my mind around, because it's not the fact that you like every day.
I want good stuff now.
Right, but like that's the thing. Like, it's not. I don't think it's too strange that every day you're like, okay, I want to go to the grocery store. You know, just whatever on a whim, you're gonna like eat whatever you feel like that day. But it's more of like you pride yourself on your ability to cook. We've talked about this before, and yet you act like you don't care if you're having like quality food or not.
It's kind of weird.
That is strange.
It's really weird.
There's like a disconnect there, because those two things would seem to go hand in hand.
So if you ever like do a show with Crowder or something like that, because they talk about food quite often on their show, now I'm starting to wonder if this is more about an athlete thing. Because as an athlete growing up and coming through, and we always had the training table and meals, and they fed you well, you ate good, right?
That's true.
But at the same time, you ate for a purpose. You ate because you was hungry, and you ate fast because you had to get to sleep. I'm talking about training camp. You had to get back to sleep so that you could make it through the next practice. So I think that appreciation for, I didn't care what I was eating at that time. I was like, I need to get some food in me, and I need to go take a nap so that I can make it through the next practice. And I think it developed over that. So in college, it was you went to school all day, then you went to practice, and then after that, you had training meal, right? So you went to training meal, and you had like 45 minutes before you had to go to study hall. So it was growing up, the food was always... You just need to do this. Get it over with.
Need to fit it into the schedule.
We're not sitting there crossing our legs, having a nice discussion about, you know, life plans. It was like, no, let's get this food in, and let's get out, and let's move on with life.
Yeah, so if that's what you become accustomed to, then it would diminish the importance of making it a big ordeal every time you're going to eat or plan for a meal.
Now, there are certain things that I truly, truly like. And when it comes to, like, my pizza Friday, I want certain pizza over other pizza because I like that pizza. So I do have that part.
Favorite pizza topping?
Yeah.
What is it?
I like a little bit of everything on there. I like green peppers. I like onions.
You're a pineapple on pizza kind of guy?
No, I'm not the... Although I had that once, I don't really order that, but it happened one time, and I said, oh, this is pretty good. Like, I was kind of scared to try that, and I said, oh, this pineapple on pizza is pretty good. So I've tried a little bit of everything, but my go-to is, you know, I kind of load it up, sausage, pepperoni, peppers, onions.
Mm. The quadfecta.
If you want to call it that.
And tonight's Taco Tuesday for you.
tonight, when I leave here, I will stop at the grocery store. That's what we call it where I come from. I don't know if you call it grocery stores here. And I will pick up tacos.
Right,
my decision now is...
What kind of tacos do you prefer?
That's my decision that I have to make over the next 4 hours.
Okay. Well, this is an evolving conversation.
Yes.
So by the time the show's over,
I
would love a definitive answer from you about, you know, hard shell, soft shell, what type of meat you're going
to
utilize.
Those are all decisions that I still need to make.
The complimentary toppings or fill-ins there. So,
and often that decision is not made until I walk into the store and I look at the product.
Okay. That seems fair.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got a lot more to get into as the show rolls on. We're going to come back and kick off the 3 o'clock hour. I want to talk more about Russell Westbrook because not only do we have some things to react to from what Eric Horn told us, but also I've got a series of quotes from various ESPN personalities and NBA TV personalities who have weighed in about the possibility of Russell Westbrook joining the Miami Heat. Plus, we'll get Troy's thoughts on that, and who knows what else we'll get into, because we certainly didn't anticipate talking about Troy's eating habits. But stay tuned. The 3 o'clock hour, who knows what could come next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.